Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
You're listening to The Tidbit, brought to you by Curate, and we are live at the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C., and I'm your host and CEO of Curate, Kim Bryden. Do you run a small business or have dreams to start one? Well, here at The Tidbit, we've got your back. Each week, we talk through tidbits of knowledge around starting or running a small business with a food and beverage lens. A lot of times when I am brainstorming topics for this show, I think about the inquiries that hit my inbox most frequently. And over the past 6 to 9 months, I cannot express how often economic development agencies, city councils, and small business owners alike all carry on about the need for more co-packing facilities in the Mid-Atlantic. And I have answered so many surveys, been to so many boardroom meetings, and I'm at the point where I just want to learn from two businesses actually doing the work. And I want to learn what these experts see as benefits and challenges of contract manufacturing in the Mid-Atlantic. But before we bring our guests on air, I want to set the stage and explain why someone would want to use a co-packer in the first place. Maybe you've heard the term thrown around on Shark Tank, or maybe you yourself are considering outsourced manufacturing. There's a short article on the site Food Tech Connect that reads, "Four tips for scaling your food startup with a co-packer." And I want to highlight two of those tips here. So tip number one, understand why you want to work with a co-packer. As your company grows, however, you can maybe not fulfill the large amount of demand that is required. And you have to make a decision. Do you invest in a larger production facility or do you outsource to a co-packer? So this is a main barrier to entry that most all entrepreneurs face. And it's a main question that's driving what do you do next? So, side note, if you're interested in taking your production in-house, one part of answering that question, you should definitely tune into one of our previous episodes with Wild Kombucha founder Sid. It's actually episode number 25 on The Tidbit. And tip number two from this article says, learn the industry jargon and set clear intentions. And the author of this piece goes on to say, quote, "I remember being so intimidated on my first call with my co-packer because I didn't understand the industry jargon they used. For instance, when they asked me about packaging on our first call, I said, 'I need the box that holds smaller boxes.' And now I would say, 'A corrugated carton is the master pack.' And like any good relationship, you must be clear about your needs and honest about your intentions. And an advisor told me, co-packers are very conscious of scope creep, which adds more work for the co-packer outside of the agreed upon request." So let's just hear it straight from the business owner's mouths, yeah? What are all of the reasons why co-packing is a great business for themselves? How you should do business with a co-packer so that all parties involved are set up for success, and the challenges they've faced along the way. So in studio, we have Matt Sebastianelli, founder of Lucky Clover Packaging and soon to launch Craft Pack. And whether it's your first time packaging for retail or you're just looking to help stand out on the shelves, they're here for you. Lucky Clover Packaging is an extension of your in-house packaging team. After all, great drinks deserve great packaging. And this is a tidbit first, but we even have two more guests with us as well, three experts with us in this episode. So also joining us in studio are Marwan and Ryan from Maryland Packaging. And their website states that Maryland Packaging is a food co-packaging and co-manufacturing with two locations in Maryland, established in 2003. And at Maryland Packaging, they're more than just a service. They're a close personal company that lives and breathes the food business. Everything they do comes back to our values. We share in our successes. We share in our challenges. We're problem solvers who come in every day asking the question, how can we be the best in the industry? And if you're an avid listener to The Tidbit, you know I love a good complex problem solver and systems level thinker. So we'll be right back to chat with Matt, Marwan, and Ryan. You're listening to The Tidbit, and I'm your host, Kim Bryden. We're here with our first of three guests of this episode, Matt Sebastianelli, founder of Lucky Clover Packaging. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. So there's this anecdote that will always stick out in my mind as a great metaphor for co-packing. And listeners, stay with me here. The story goes as follows. Americans who traveled west for the gold rush to mine for gold rarely proved successful. But Americans who traveled west for the gold rush to sell picks and axes, now those were the ones who proved fruitful. So Matt, in essence, this is a lot of a metaphor about your business growth. There was this boom in the craft beverage industry, but a huge barrier to entry that you solved for with providing the tools necessary for production. So I'm wondering, can you tell us a bit more about your journey to where you've gotten to now, and how were you able to discern this unique value proposition? Because you came in just as a lover of craft beer.
Yeah, so that's actually, my wife and I actually started the companies, and that's one of her favorite adages for what we've done. Mm-hmm. So I actually wanted to be the gold miner. So I set out to build a business plan and start a brewery. And there was a bunch of barriers to entry we weren't able to overcome. That was in 2012, 2013. And one of the challenges that we wanted to address to be a differentiator was how we're positioning ourselves on the retail channel. And so we chose to be into cans. Mm-hmm. So we built out a whole segment of our model on how we're going to can this beer in a micro scale, which at the time was not a very popular concept. There's very few users of the can concept for brew. So I found all these solutions on a micro scale that were really only available internationally. And as the model evolved, she decided that, hey, if we can't be the gold miner, we're going to sell the picks and the axes. So we figured out how to take these micro lines and make them mobile. And, you know, what started to be a 5-year plan that involved, you know, 2 canning lines and 5 employees ended up being 6 canning lines and 25 employees before we exited that space at the end of 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. And along the way, the way we were able to, I guess, continue to keep our pulse on the our finger on the pulse of our industry was listening to our customers and realizing that there was, you know, these evolving barriers to entry that we just couldn't, they couldn't breach on their own. And that's how Lucky Clover Packaging ended up coming around. So what Lucky Clover Packaging is, it's a material supply shop for beverage producers that are looking to get into cans on smaller scales than the traditional minimum order quantities of the printed cans that you find, you know, your Cokes and your Pepsis and your Budweiser cans was directly printed on the can body. Mm-hmm. And those have pretty steep minimum order quantities. And a lot of these micro beverage producers just can't come up with that kind of cash flow to be able to pre-purchase these items. So, you know, for us to scale River City, we needed these clients to be in cans. So we figured out how to start buying these cans and doing, you know, essentially post-forming decoration in-house. So we started, you know, trialing a bunch of different methodologies. And once we kind of perfected the materials and the application style, we started offering this to, you know, our book of business at River City. River City Cannery was the mobile canning company. And from there, once we started, you know, investing in the equipment and the process to keep up with the growing demand on the mobile canning side, we said, well, this is silly not to open it up to other producers that either at that point there had now been, you know, 15, 20 mobile canners in the country that had, you know, grown from 2 or 3 to 20 and people that are producing for themselves. So Lucky Clover ended up evolving with the market. And we currently have 2 locations, one in Sacramento and one here in Baltimore. You know, and along the way, we continue to posture with an ear towards our customers and listening to complaints and challenges and the burdens of scaling and growth. And, you know, we kept hearing the need for having a co-pack facility mm-hmm. for producers without these massive minimum purchase order quantities that the existing co-pack industry requires you to have. And that's what's been the real propagator for launching Craft Pack, which is, you know, really built to be a boutique, scalable co-pack facility. Mm-hmm. We want to grow with you, but, you know, we're here to get you going.
Yeah, that's what a great story. And listener, you might have some obvious conclusions as to why very large minimum purchase orders might be a barrier to entry. But I also want to call out the beautiful way that you've been able to grow Lucky Clover Packaging is there's evolving needs from retailers and or your own product production that would require you to do smaller batch runs of, let's say, a seasonal item, or all of a sudden you've decided you have a woman-owned business certification and you want to add that logo to your can or package. So if you've already purchased X amount of thousands upon thousands of cans that no longer suit your needs because they don't have that certification or that seasonal ingredient, now you've wasted all that money. So again, it's not just having that cash flow up front to be able to purchase, but it also limits you in what you can bring to market in a quicker pace.
That's right. Speed to market, kind of an on-demand sellable unit. Absolutely right. A lot of the shift in the craft beverage space has gone from your core lineups of product that you're known for, your flagships, to these, you know, constantly evolving recipes and styles that they're adapting with new, you know, emerging technology and trends. And if they didn't have that flexibility to be able to have, you know, new, completely new art for every single project, you know, a lot of the evolution of the craft beverage space over the past 5 years wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to learn more about Craft Pack now, because what you've learned from your unique value proposition with the beverage supply chain through, like you mentioned, River City Cannery, evolved into Lucky Clover Packaging, and now here we are with Craft Pack. Where do you grow from here? Tell us. What's this whole pie in the sky dream and vision?
Every year we say we're going to slow down a little bit, and that's not what we do.
No.
Not here. So Craft Pack, we're actually operating now. Mm-hmm. If you go to our website, it says coming soon. But that's just because we've been so busy. We have decided to dedicate our resources to meeting,
production.
Yeah. Meeting our customer needs instead of our advertising. You know, at the end of the day, we're a boutique co-packer in the space of co-packers. So we have very low minimum purchase order quantities. It's 1,000 cases of a production run for beverage co-packing. Most co-packers, that might be their pilot run, and then you're coming back with a 10,000 case, you know, MPO or you know, an annualized volume of, you know, a couple million units, something like that.
You'll have to define MPO.
I'm sorry, minimum purchase orders.
Okay, so, thank you.
What we're making for you. And so we decided to be, you know, a bit of a disruptor there and said, you know, we can do this on a smaller footprint, bringing the capabilities and capacities, not on a throughput basis, but on a functionality basis to the beverage brand, and in turn, give them a resource that's very flexible, very adaptable, and responsive. Mm-hmm. What we continually find is, you know, the existing co-pack industry for the beverage side, at the very least, you know, you're scheduling 8, 9, 11 months out for line time. And that doesn't really work well with a brand that's coming from the incubation stage to its first launch. You've landed, you know, your first round of, you know, your A or whatever it might be. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have this opportunity to make a splash, or you're picked up in a regional chain and, you know, I only need 11,000 cans. I don't need, you know, 300,000 cans.
Right.
And so where do we go from there? And so the solution should be craft pack. Mm-hmm. Or that's what we want it to be, at least.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're in a, 81,000 square foot plant. That ideation started at about 2,500 square feet. So as we started putting feelers out there, we continued to kind of expand the concept of who we would be and how we would service our customers. So 81,000 square feet, a little over 13,000 square feet of dedicated refrigerated space, where we mostly focus on cans because that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We do 9 different can sizes, so we have a pretty broad reach for different projects. We're one of, if not the only, facility in the state that is certified for all 3 alcohol bases. So we're a winery, a brewery, and a distillery.
Wow.
So we can do cocktails, we can do wines.
Cocktails in a can.
Yeah.
So it's hot right
it's
now.
It's coming. Yeah. It's coming. And then we can do the flavored malt beverages out there as well. You know, we're organic certified through CCOF. We're kosher. We do fun stuff like pasteurizing. So we can create this shelf-stable product without putting in a bunch of preservatives, which is, natural, clean label. That's really the movement for new beverages at this point, right? We're getting out of these preservatives.
Totally.
And yeah, it's pretty fun.
Well, and what I also wanted to mention based on your story previously is maybe it wasn't as in vogue to have beverages, especially craft beers, in cans. And now there is this whole movement towards canned beverages of any kind. And in part, it has to do with, let's say you did want to scale up to a sports arena or a poolside venue. People aren't always allowed to have glass. So that's just really fascinating, your specialty in cans. And so, Matt, on the tidbit, we always like to provide tidbits of knowledge, of course, to our listener to take away on their business journey. So as we close with you, what is one piece of advice you have for small business owners who are looking for either product market fit or food production best practices? How should someone be working with you?
So Ashley couldn't be here today, but she does have a piece that, so I have two.
Oh, amazing. Right. Yes. Tell us even Ashley's best practice.
So her message is always consistency, right? So not everybody, you can't be all things to all people. Not everybody's going to like your product. But the people that do like your product want to know it's the same product every time we get into it. So consistency is key. That's once you've fought so hard to earn that shelf space and that transaction, to lose it because you're producing in-house or externally and you're not getting a consistent product, it's a real tragedy. For me, it's the partnership. Actually, on Maryland Packaging's website, there's a really great article about why sometimes we say no. And one of those pieces in why we say no is because there's a lot of, it sounds silly, you're paying me for a service, but there's a tremendous amount of sacrifice sometimes that the co-packer takes on. We're an extension of your brand. We embody your product. We're making it for you. Your success is our success. And if that means there's 20-hour days to get the project done by the deadline, that's what we're going to do. And for me, the tidbit is make sure your partners are in it to win it with you, and they're fighting for you, and they're going to be able to put in those long days. They're willing to do that so that you can get out there and sell your brand and be successful.
Beautiful. And thank you for that wonderful segue. We are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to be back with Marwan and Ryan from Maryland Packaging. Are back. You're listening to The Tidbit with our next two guests of this co-packing deep dive, Marwan and Ryan from Maryland Packaging, a food co-packaging, contract manufacturing, and high pressure processing facility that has been in operation for over 15 years. Hello, you two.
Hey, Cam. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So, Marwan, as mentioned, you founded Maryland Packaging over 15 years ago. So you have seen a lot of businesses start and also go out of business, in addition to trends that are coming and going. So give us a brief history lesson. From your experience, where have you seen the industry grow from? And what are the hot products right now. What should we be keeping our eyes on?
Okay, thank you, Kim, for having us. Following Matt is going to be tough, but congratulations on your tremendous success. And we're always here to be able to help one another. Merrill & Packaging, we started our life as a CPG company. So CPG standing for Consumer Products and Goods. And we've seen some success in that arena. And, of course, we've seen a lot of failures. And as we continued to push in the CPG world, we realized that a lot of the major chains had stopped selling foods and started selling real estate. And it made it almost impossible for young CPG companies to be able to come in and get some of that shelf space and be able to bring the product to market.
Yeah, very pay to play.
It sure is. We tried fighting it for years and years, and it became evident to us that it was a controlled space, so we decided to become a co-manufacturer and co-packer. Over the last 15 years, we've seen a tremendous amount of trends come and go, you know, some of them like the Atkins diet, and you know, now we have the keto, and we've seen the all kinds of different fads. But the one thing that we've noticed over the years, especially in the last 10 years, is that the millennials have come in and changed the entire dynamic of how this industry is operating. The millennials came in and rejected the narrative of all the big companies of being able to feed them basically product that was not as healthy, clean, labeled, good, delicious. And they demanded the supermarkets and the mainstream shelf space areas to carry these new products. The only way to be able to bring these products from farm to table in the fastest way became evident to us. It had to be through HPP high acidification processes with no chemicals. And Merrill & Packaging winded up getting involved in these clean label trends. And during that period, we started realizing that we had to put a format in place that basically assures the success of these products as well as the success of the relationship between the clients and Merrill & Packaging. So we created something called DNA. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to make sure that our DNA was the same DNA of our clients. And DNA stood for a very simple equation: delicious, natural, and authentic. Because of the growth in the clean label world, we decided that we were going to get into multiple different ways of being able to prolong a clean label shelf life. And those became number one, HPP.
High pressure pasteurization.
Mm-hmm. Where we're really not cooking the product at all. We're just basically getting all the ingredients, clean label ingredients together, all fresh ingredients, packaging them, and then putting them in a vessel with very cold water, 87,000 PSI, and releasing that pressure after 3 minutes. And that destroys all the pathogens and extends the shelf life from traditionally 5 days up to 90 days.
And this is huge in juice.
It's huge in juice. It's huge in most of your hummus is HPP'd.
Interesting.
A lot of the ready-to-eat meals are HPP'd. A lot of the ready-to-drink is HPP'd. Sauces, clean label sauces are all HPP'd. And it's a proven methodology where you are not changing any of the enzymes or destroying them, changing the color, taste profile, flavor, aroma. So it's truly the way of the future. And now you're seeing even more trends in the raw feeding for animals with HPP.
Yeah. People are pet crazy.
100%. But for a very good reason.
Yeah.
Traditionally, a lot of the diseases that the pets are getting are from the feeding. You know, predominantly, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we're eating a lot of chemicals and preservatives, you know, we're not going to have a very good, long, healthy life.
Yeah.
We also realized over the last few years that skin packaging is becoming a huge trend, and we got in it before it even became a trend. So we have equipment to be able to do skin packaging, and that's when you're removing all the air out of the package and then packaging it and HPPing it, where the product is totally intact as if it's a white tablecloth product, no chemicals, no preservatives, just like you would cook at home, plate it, skin pack it, and then HPP it. And this way you have a meal that is full of all the nutritional values, the color, the taste, with a shelf life of 90 days.
Wow. I don't know much about skin packaging, but is it like sous vide?
Sous vide is the methodology of cooking, which we also just got in. Our first sous vide machine and retort machine just came in from overseas and getting installed in the next week. Sous vide is basically cooking very low temperature over an extended period of time, not destroying any of the enzymes or making the product tough. You can't overcook with sous vide. But then once you cook, then you take it and you take this product and you put it in a plate and you pull a very strong vacuum. So basically the product in a tray looks like it absolutely has no cover to it, but it's skin packaged, removing all the oxygen, which is really your biggest reason for oxidization and breaking down of the nutrients, and then HPPing that product.
Yeah.
The other thing that we do at Maryland Packaging is we do MAP packaging, which is modified atmospheric pressure, which is removing the oxygen and replacing it with nitrogen and CO2. And that, again, extends the shelf life and destroys any possibility of oxidization. So there are so many different methodologies today that we incorporate at Maryland Packaging to be able to deliver a clean label product with an extended shelf life and no chemicals. And ironically, Kim, what we have found out is the cost of HPP per pound is far less than the cost of the chemicals used to artificially preserve a product for the same shelf life.
Oh my goodness.
So there is absolutely no reason for anyone out there to eat products that are full of nitrites and sulfates and phosphates. There is absolutely no value to that whatsoever if HPP can deal with the same exact shelf extension but with a clean label product.
Yeah.
One of the things that I share with with Matt is how do you really tell young entrepreneurs getting into this business to be able to look for? And one of the things that we need to assure the young entrepreneurs is that there is a path. Unfortunately, that path, if they try to do this journey on their own, can be very expensive and very long, and that's the reason why co-packers exist. Today we are in an environmental position where the regulatory requirements are so massive and so harsh,
so confusing, not transparent.
Even the FDA half the time doesn't know what they're doing. So we had to invest close to $2 million a year in quality assurance and regulatory division in payroll alone to be able to meet all those criterias. And a lot of the companies that the CPG companies are trying to get into are requiring a facility to be SQF, be PCQI, safe quality foods, PCQIs, preventive control programs, meeting the COMARs of the FDA and the USDA. And to be able to implement these today in a new facility will cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. So a co-packer that has all these certifications, whether it's kosher, we're kosher certified, we're organic certified, we're halal certified, we're non-GMO verified, we're gluten-free verified. A co-packer fills those needs where they spread these costs across the board for multiple different clients, and they don't onboard these costs to one client.
Yeah.
A lot of the young people that we see that come to our facility, not only do they need someone that can walk them through all these regulations, but they also need financial assistance in being able to get into these markets and on the shelf space. What Ryan and I do is we spend a tremendous amount of time getting to understand the needs of these clients. We are making a huge investment by understanding what they want to do, helping them do it. But a lot of times we will actually take a position and be the financiers for these companies if we believe that these products are going to make it.
Yeah.
Some of the trends, Kim, that we're seeing right now is, of course, CBD.
Oh, gosh.
It's a huge trend.
And we actually just had an episode on the emergence of CBD here on The Tidbit. And tune in, people.
Yes, do tune in. It's upcoming, and we are the largest CBD contract packager in the Mid-Atlantic right now. So we work very extensively with all kinds of different CBDs, soluble CBDs, non-soluble. But there is a lot to watch for, because the product that you're starting with is going to either make your company or doom your company. We're seeing a lot of really bad quality CBDs. It's sort of the wild, wild west right now. And we're trying to position ourselves to not only be a co-manufacturer, but actually be a responsible supplier of these products. The other trend that is huge, and I think it's definitely has legs and sustainability, is collagen.
Mm.
There's been a tremendous amount of research done on the value of collagen, whether it's bovine collagen or marine collagen. And a lot of studies have been done by multiple universities, including Duke and Howard and Princeton, showing the value of added collagens in your food products and your beverage products. So we're very involved in the shots with collagen as well as CBD.
It goes back to what we were saying about food as medicine and you having that DNA of a clean label.
Absolutely.
People care about what they're putting in their bodies.
Absolutely.
More now than ever.
Absolutely. And if you take certain regions in the world that that don't have chemicals and preservatives in their foods, you know, you find regions in Afghanistan where the average age is 78 years old. I mean, there are people living there at 120 with very, very little disease and pains and aches, and it's all because of the good quality food that they eat, and they're living off the farm.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Our mission in Maryland Packaging is to be able to truly bring not only the fastest way from farm to table, but to be able to bring an experience with the CPG emerging brands and the young entrepreneurs that can make them succeed and can make them the next Coca-Cola and Pepsi without having to cheat and without having to offer products that are not good for you.
Right.
And that's what we thrive for. So our mission today is, how can we onboard and take a young client and be able from a cub stage into a bear? And really, the way that we look at it is, we are not incubators, but we're more of accelerators.
Yeah.
So how do we accelerate you? And sometimes it's very difficult, Kim, because we have to tell certain people that we can't help them.
Right.
You more than anyone know that a lot of people are me too items, and they have nothing that they can stand on to be able to succeed. And unfortunately, we have to be the bearers of bad news to some of these clients.
And say, I'm sorry, it just might not work out. And Ryan, you and I, we've had the pleasure of sitting together as a part of a food business roundtable in Baltimore, actually, with a bunch of other amazing small business owners. So essentially, to Marwan's point, being an entrepreneur yourself, us having these frank discussions about what does it take to break down these barriers to entry to really have a sustainable business that has stable cash flow. Crazy idea. Now that you're on this other side and seeing the intricacies of production at Maryland Packaging, what's a piece of advice you have, speaking the language of another entrepreneur, for those who are looking to outsource their production?
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having us here today. I was thinking about this for a while, and I came up with a piece of advice. And this is one of the most incredible things that we could have done. It's like, how do we reach out on the airwaves and say, how do you be a great client? How do you come in and prepare yourself for success? And there's really three parts to it. The first part is, make sure that you're ready to scale. So that really comes into four parts. So money, that's obviously the first part. You're ready to scale, your grandmom loves your product, the Whole Foods loves your product, you're starting to get established in your local area. And you go out and you get a couple $100,000 PO and you come back to us and say, all right, what are we doing now? And we're like, I don't know, what are we doing? If we believe in your product, as Marwan said, there is opportunities for financing. However, a lot of that financial oversight over the being the passionate entrepreneurs, sometimes it can be overlooked. Mm-hmm. And then there's vendors. Do you have the people that you need, you know, together ready to do what is necessary and ready for your product? So do you have your packaging? Are you getting it from StockBag, you know, .com or whatever it is? Or
yeah.
Do you have someone that says, hey, you know, these are your price breaks, you know, at, you know, this amount of units, we're able to offer this so you can build a scalable model.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you make more units with the co-packer, you can achieve a more efficient pricing. Same happens with your vendors and every, you know, part of that. Next part is really compliance. So what are the certifications that you want? Do you even know? Do you know what market you're in? What does that USDA organic mean to you? Is that important to your client? There are hundreds and hundreds of questions the entrepreneur has to ask themselves. And most of the time, if they ask themselves before they come to us, they're really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that last part is the packaging. Do you have the packaging? And that kind of goes back to your vendors. But packaging is very specifically important. Are you in the correct packaging? Is this the correct packaging to scale? I've seen, you know, tons of, you know, jams and jellies, as you were saying, that aren't that great in a jar. What would happen if you put it in a pouch?
Hmm.
Who knows? You know, maybe have you found out that moms actually love your product on the go?
Hmm.
Why not try a spouted pouch? So then that brings me into the second part. So you have, you know, all of your pieces together. You think that you have a complete, you know, puzzle. You're still a passionate entrepreneur. You have to come in and be ready to sell yourself to the manufacturer. Co-packers get hundreds of calls, sometimes a week, mostly, you know, about different brands. And, you know, it's our opportunity and responsibility to be stewards of our resources and say, who can we honestly help the best? Who are we able to put our best foot forward for to take care of all the families that work at Maryland Packaging, as well as the families and all the consumers for the products that want to be manufactured at our facility? So it's really important to make sure to show your passion. We've had a couple entrepreneurs, me and Marwan, come and sit down, and we just say, wow, you know, you really got it. Like, you've done all of your homework, and we're excited for the next conversation. And whether it works out or not, just knowing that you're, you know, really crushing every single meeting, that's all you can really do.
It's relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to figure out who you want to be in the long game with. Sharing like-minded goals, a shared vision, shared financials. Anyway, keep going.
Of course.
Yeah.
So you've sold yourself. The co-packer likes you. You have all your stuff. Guess what? Step three, it's time to load up your sales pipeline. So what you've just done by building a sustainable relationship with a co-packer is you have transformed your company to be a sales and marketing company. So obviously you have to manage what is going on, and in terms of, like, you know, how many units do I need? But the reason and one of the main benefits of doing that is the passionate entrepreneurs can focus on going out and selling the product, sharing it with the world. Because at the end of the day, isn't that why you made it in your kitchen or with your buddies, or you really got it together? You want to go share this thing, so go out and do it.
Love this. And I could not agree anymore. This is fundamentally why you would want to seek out a relationship with a co-packer, a co-manufacturer, because you then, as the entrepreneur, can be your authentic self, selling the product, marketing the product, and you don't have to be in the weeds of day-to-day production in your kitchen. So everyone, could you just tell our listeners where to find you all on the internet should they want to learn more about you? Matt, where can people find you?
The coming soon website.
Yeah.
www.craftpackbev, so craftpackbev.com.
Wonderful. Marlon, Ryan, where do we find you?
Well, Matt, I'm going to offer you something that you can't refuse. My VP of operation just texted me while you were talking, and he said, why don't we help Matt by lending him our SEO to be able to help you finish building your website. So
I will accept that offer graciously.
We'd be more than happy to lend you, Ashley. Yeah. Our website is www.maryland, like the state of Maryland, packaging.com. We are located in Baltimore. Like Matt, you know, we offer multiple different ways of being able to do short runs to be able to help the entrepreneurs. One last thing is, a co-packer and a client become synergetical partners, and that's what we look for.
Mm.
We look for our clients to be our partners because eventually they become our unpaid sales force. and we do love them for that. And I love
brand
the passion
ambassadors.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So love it. Well, listener, if you're the first time tuning in, this show is based on a bi-weekly newsletter that we send out at Curate called The Tidbit, and in it we discuss what we're reading, eating, drinking, listening to, and learning. 5 quick morsels of information to get you in the know and on top of your game. So head over to curate.co, C-U-R-E-A-T-E.co to sign up. And we'd love if more budding entrepreneurs and listeners like you could find out about The Tidbit. Our mission includes sharing of education and access to resources, and the best way to reach more folks like you is to leave a review in iTunes. So I'd be very appreciative if you'd head over to your app and leave a little tidbit there on what you've learned here on the show. And until next time, everyone, remember to scale thoughtfully and source locally.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.